When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brock Purdy is one season away from becoming one of the highest paid players in the NFL. Or is he? We'll discuss that and more next on 49ers After Dark. What's up? Welcome to 49ers After Dark, presented by the Sleeper app. That's Jesse Naylor. I'm Grant Cohn. The title of today's show is What's at Stake for Brock Purdy This Season? We will get there. Don't worry, because we've been talking a lot about what's at stake for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch this season. Debatable. From what I've heard, there's a whole freaking lot at stake for at least one of those guys. We'll see. And we'll talk about Brock a little bit more, but they have a game coming up in like 5 days. Isn't that wild? What do you want to learn from this upcoming game?
Well, first of all, I'm just happy that football's back. Tomorrow night, got a heck of a game, a rematch of the AFC Championship. And Monday Night Football, 49ers start out in primetime against the Jets team that has a lot of promise, according to their fans. Curious to see how it plays out. But there's a few things I want to learn. We can go back and forth if you want, because I don't want to take your ideas. But the first thing I want to learn, Grant, can this team consistently stop the run? One thing we know about the 49ers last year is they played from ahead a lot. And when you play from ahead, a lot of the opposing teams have to abandon the run game. But the games that were close, teams that were able to stick with the run, they usually had success against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the 49ers losing Arik Armstead, best interior pass rusher they had by a mile, now off this team. They revamped that defensive line, but they don't have Greenlaw. That is a concern. So I want to see, can they consistently stop the run? And what we do know is the Jets are going to run the ball, and they have one of the best running backs in the league. Breece Hall is absolutely fantastic. He runs with power. He runs with speed. He's a do-it-all back. This is going to be a major key to the game, and we're going to find out early if the 49ers' run defense is up to snuff. And if it's not, it can be a long, long season. But if it is, that bodes very, very well. So I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah, like the run defense may round into form as the season comes along, but like week one, George Odom could be starting. Is he a good run defender? I don't know. Devondre Campbell is starting. He's demonstrably better against the pass and the run. Leonard Floyd, demonstrably better against the pass and the run. Malik Collins, same. Javon Hargrave, same. So a defense that wasn't strong against the run last year is going to be, in my opinion, weaker against it this year. And in this particular game, it's obvious that the Jets are going to come out running. Like, their offensive line, their pass protection isn't great. Their quarterback is 40. He tore his Achilles last year. He hasn't played. He didn't play in preseason. They have every reason to run the ball.
Yeah, they definitely do. They definitely do. What do you want to learn from this game?
It's funny, like you just brought up essentially their front on defense, their D-line in particular, but the whole front. Well, what about the offensive line? Mm-hmm. Last time the Niners played a game, they played an elite defense in Kansas City that had a fairly simple game plan that you have to be elite to pull off. Let's load the box, play man-to-man coverage on the outside, and bring pressure. Let's try to make it tough on the run game. Let's take away the quick passes. And let's challenge their protection schemes. And they won. They got 9 unblocked rushers. So it seems like the Jets can do all of that. They got the DBs to play man-to-man on the outside against Ayuk and Debo. They got the defensive coordinator or head coach and Robert Saleh, who can bring pressure. And he understands the, you know, how to shut down a running game if he has to. So can the Niners pick up a blitz? Can Jake Brandel pick up a blitz? Like, that's a big one, because that's a big reason they lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, most certainly. And Dominic Pooney, we're all very excited about him. I don't think anybody is arguing against how good he's looked, especially as a third round pick. Nobody expected that. And now he's come in, he's outright won the starting job at the right guard position. But now he's going against legit NFL tier one starters. Quinnen Williams is going to have a matchup there a time or two throughout this game. I'm curious to see if Pooney is really as good as what we thought, or did we get a little ahead of our skis on this one? So Pooney, I think, is a question I want to see answered. And then I would say the other question that I want to see answered, Grant, is do off-season storylines matter? You know, one thing that I've continuously talked about is this team felt a little bit down. It felt a little bit off. Is this what a Super Bowl hangover feels like? Or is it as simple as if Ayuk was in the building, Trent Williams was in the building, CMC was practicing, everything would have felt just fine? I don't know. But I think this game is a good test, but it's a test that the 49ers should win. The Jets are trying to become a great team in this league. The 49ers have proven they're a great team. This is not a game that I think they should lose. So do offseason storylines matter, and will it play a factor in this game? I'm curious to see.
I think I saw a spread that Super Bowl losing teams week one following their Super Bowl loss, 419 against the spread.
Oh.
419. Last time the Niners lost the Super Bowl, they lost 24-20 to the Cardinals at home. So
I forgot. I remember that game.
The Super Bowl hangover is a real thing. The Niners aren't exactly in like mid-season form right now. So we'll see. At the same time, neither are the Jets. Like, Aaron Rodgers has done not a nair nutta the last year.
Oh, very, very good point. Very good point. Is there anything else that you want to learn from this game? Are you set?
I'm set.
All right.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Deebo Samuel restructured his deal, converted his base salary to signing bonus. Does this mean that he's now going to be here beyond this season? And they're going to have a Deebo Ayuk tandem for the long term?
Man. Okay. It could. It definitely could. And I think that was the consensus, right? As soon as the deal was reworked, it's like, everybody that said Debo's on his way out, what are you saying now? I just want to say this. Just because his deal was reworked, it doesn't mean that he's not on his way out. Now, I'm not saying he was ever for sure on his way out. It certainly felt that way if Ayuk got signed. You're just looking at where you can cut money. Deebo made a lot of sense. But let's not forget that Eric Armstead, one day before the week one game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was announced that he reworked his deal last year, something very, very similar to what Deebo Samuel just did. And they didn't have any problems moving on from him this year. So it doesn't mean that Deebo is automatically saying just because his deal is reworked, there is a path to move on from him. It's not ideal, but it is something they could choose to do if they want to. I still think
but it makes it more difficult to do so.
It definitely does. It definitely does. But the question I have is, and I hate to even bring it up based off of what happened this weekend, but this is a real football conversation that has to happen here. It's not a Ricky Pearsall conversation necessarily, but it's the 49ers drafting a wide receiver in round one. How disappointing would it be to draft any wide receiver? It doesn't matter who the player, just drafting that position round one when you had so many needs along this offensive line and quite frankly on the interior defensive line as well, in my opinion, long term. And now all of a sudden you rework Deebo, you sign Ayuk to a long term deal, you add on years to Juwan Jennings' deal. And now this first-round pick, if Deebo comes back, really isn't playing barring injury for two full seasons. What is the point of that? I mean, talk about a waste of a pick. It wouldn't make any sense. So, listen, I love Deebo Samuel, but I think for the sake of them picking a receiver, it would be a really, really odd thing for them to do to hang on to him, even if they did rework his deal.
Here's the way I interpret the 49ers. I don't think they're in lockstep about what they want to do. And that's what I think I picked up from my report that I put out yesterday, that the front office is sort of upset with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, despite giving them the green light to do whatever the hell they want to do. It seems like they're begrudgingly allowing Kyle and John to do whatever they want. And as time goes on, the pressure for them to prove that their decision-making leads to a championship gets higher. So I don't know. I think the organization, the front office, would like to move on from Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. I think they feel that investing big money in two wide receivers is foolhardy. And I think there's probably a lot of evidence, math to back that up. But Kyle's a head coach and it's his offense. He's precious about it. And he ultimately can overrule anyone, any analytics guy, Parag, whoever, bean counter. I want Deebo. I want Ayuk. And so if Kyle has the last say and Debo's his best friend in the world, he might stick around for a while.
I mean, talk about making the same mistake twice. Now, it's not as detrimental as the first one was because you didn't trade three first-round picks. But, you know, you say you wanted to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's why you moved up to number three. It didn't matter. Again, let's take the player out of it. Obviously, Trey Lance ended up being a bust and not working out. It seems that would have been the case with Fields or Mac Jones or any of them. But when you say you want to move on from a player and you spend that much capital to go get his replacement, and then you keep the player around that you want to move on from, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But now, a couple years later, just 3 years later, you finally get your first round pick back. Everybody's excited. And you go and make the same exact mistake drafting a wide receiver and then also taking all of your wide receivers and extending them in the same offseason? What sense does that make? Why would you make the same mistake twice?
Like, imagine if they had drafted Ricky Pearsall in round one and he hadn't pulled his hamstring or had a messed up shoulder. If he had, like, been really good, and then instead of Renardo Green, who looks good, they had drafted Kingsley Suamataya. They may not have had to just capitulate to Ayuk and Trent Williams. I think it's so obvious that's not what the organization wanted to do. They dragged their feet forever. They were begrudgingly giving those two players money last week, the last couple of days. And that's why they drafted Ricky Pearsall, because they wanted to have options. I'm thinking the front office would have appreciated if Kyle Shanahan drafted an offensive tackle too. And I'm guessing that when Trent Williams held out, that the Niners were actually surprised.
I don't know how you're surprised by that. I mean,
when you
have Eric Armstead on the team, who's in a very similar situation to both CMC and Trent Williams, and the fact that you wanted him to take a pay cut because he really didn't have guaranteed money left. A veteran on this team, a guy who's reworked his deal. And you see that happen with Eric Armstead, you don't think the veteran players take notice of that and are like, whoa, hold on. So I'm one injury away from being in the same position here? No. Give me my guaranteed money. I'm not playing another down until I get it. I got to protect myself. And Trent Williams was very open about that he needed to protect himself just in case something happened. Listen, I'm 36 years old. I know Father Time's undefeated. I feel great right now. I do think I can play until I'm 40. But just in case, I need my guaranteed money. That's what it was about. And when you see an organization do that with a player of your own and Eric Armstead, it now becomes very obvious that you got to make business decisions. And that's what CMC and Trent Williams did. I don't know how you didn't see that coming as a possibility.
Also, I think we may have underestimated the impact on the locker room that cutting Eric Armstead may have had. Like, he was the longest tenured player on the team. He was a captain. He was a Walter Payton Man of the Year Award finalist. He had a lot of respect in the locker room. And there was a group interview with Juwan Jennings yesterday. And he was saying something in passing. I can post it. He said, like, you know, we got the whole team back. You know, because they signed Trent and Ayuk. And he kind of said, like, except AA. I was like, who's AA? He's an important member of this team. Maybe he's breaking down. When they cut him, I thought that was a smart move. But I'm curious to see what that does to the locker room, because there were few players in the team that were more popular than him.
Yeah, that's true. He was definitely a leader. I mean, he was a captain for a good reason. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think that they have a lot of really good leaders in that locker room. I think they'll be okay. But, you know, it's just one extra thing that makes this thing interesting going into the season.
Dave Barclay says, hashtag trade Kyle. Time to get this hashtag going. They haven't lost a game yet, but I like where your head's at. Dave Barclay says, please let Mason show out against the Jets. Mm. Dave Barclay says, right, Jesse, I was just going to bring up Armstead. Fish and Chip says, Italian-style chest hair for the ladies.
It's hamburger meat. Mm.
Yeah, some people think that this show is just for guys talking about football. No, this is definitely for the ladies. Dave Barclay says, Dollar Tree specials. Grant, nice shirt. No, this is definitely Banana Republic outlet. Thank you very much.
I was going to say Express, actually. It looked very Express.
Dave Barclay says, Grant got called Vanilla Ice. Now he's going all in.
It's more Miami Vice than Vanilla Ice.
Hamburger meat all hanging out, says Dave Barclay.
There we go.
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm Jewish and Italian. There's not a more hairy combination.
It's true.
It's like hair multiplied by hair. Dave Barclay says, Grant, Rob Ross with no fro. Happy little tree here. Is it? No, it's not Rob. It's Bob Ross.
Bob Ross, yeah.
GTC Real says, Grant showing taco meat on a live is wild.
Yeah, this is the energy we needed. All Niners says,
I'll donate $10 if y'all go through all 16 games real quick and help me pick winners for Pick'em's League, Grant. You could even make a bet US promo, LOL. 16 games? All Niner. What is this, 2020? What is this, 2017? What are you talking about? 16? No.
No, well, no, yeah, he's talking about the games this week. All the NFL games. He wants us to make a pick 'em, not the 49ers games.
Yeah, but you didn't donate 10 though. You donated 5. Dave Barclay says you should read chat. Grant's looks are killing it. Purdy, Debo, and Hargraves for Josh Allen. You're welcome, Jade. Yes, sure.
Oh, I wish.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about what's at stake for Brock Purdy. I received a DM. I'm not the most plugged in guy. I'm not trying to be that guy. I just want to pontificate. It's easier. Sometimes, though, people give me information and I feel like a responsibility to share it because I don't want to sit on it. I want people to know what I know. So what I heard is that there's a lot at stake for Kyle and John this year. Don't know what exactly is at stake, but it's year 8. The team's expensive. It's Super Bowl or bust is what I heard. Heads will roll, yada, 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 yada. Sure. Kyle's really smart, though. And when he's on the chopping block, when he's in the crosshairs, he has a good way of putting someone else in the spot. And it's usually the quarterback. So what I want to ask you, Brock Purdy, year 3, year 2.5, 1 year away from becoming one of the highest paid players in the league, threw a bunch of picks in training camp, wasn't great in preseason. Pass protection isn't a priority here. If this team doesn't do great, if this team takes a step back, last year we talked about before the season, if this team doesn't make it all the way, who's going to be the scapegoat? We all figured out it's definitely Steve Wilks. We can see that shit coming from a mile away. Pardon my French. If this team doesn't reach expectations, and the expectations are a Super Bowl victory, is Brock going to be the one who gets scapegoated?
I sure hope not, man. I sure hope not. Listen, I've got my opinions about quarterbacks that I think aren't elite in this league, and I certainly don't think Brock is that yet. And I struggle to want my franchise to overpay for a non-elite quarterback. But that being said, dude, how can you not root for Brock Purdy? I mean, it's the most amazing story ever. And he has played really well. It's a crime almost how much he's getting paid at this point. So if something were to happen, whether he gets injured, whether he's scapegoated, whether he doesn't play well at all, he just regresses and this team doesn't do well, that would be a shame because there's a lot of money, life-changing money for a good young man on the table here. And I hope he gets it, whether it's here or elsewhere. It'll be here, assuming he plays well. And I think as long as he's healthy, he will play well. But you're right, man. I think Kyle, we've seen this. This league is not what people think it is under the surface. How many times behind the scenes, coaches throw other coaches under the table to not get fired, or throw their GM under the table, or vice versa, throw players under the table. I mean, you know, you just had something come out from the Washington Commanders where, like, the VP of player operations is saying some nasty things. This is not out of the ordinary. All right. These are things that happen behind closed doors, whether you're comfortable with it or not. So, yes, if Kyle Shanahan feels like his back's against the wall, he will grasp at something because he's trying to save his job. Remember, one of the interviews he talked about that he learned from his dad, the one thing he learned from his dad wasn't how to win, wasn't how to get a quarterback. It was how to keep your job. That's what he learned from his dad. So if you think, and I'm not saying Brock Purdy necessarily, because I think Brock Purdy is probably going to play too good for him to be any sort of scapegoat, but he will find something. He will grasp onto something if it doesn't go as planned. Absolutely. Could that be Brock Purdy? Certainly. I don't think it will be. And hopefully the 49ers just have a really good season. But if they don't, he'll grasp onto something. He will.
And like when we say he'll grasp onto something, it's not like he's going to come out after a game at the post-game press conference, some bitter defeat, and say this was Brock's fault. Like it's not how it's going to go. No. It's going to be people in the media who are close to Kyle, like Chris Sims. You know, like when they lost the Super Bowl 4 years ago, everyone agreed it was Jimmy's fault. There was the missed throw to Emmanuel Sanders, the deep throw. Like, he was schemed open. It was there. Jimmy missed it. Kyle avoided flag, even though you were up 10 points in the fourth quarter and you gave it up. Put it all on Jimmy. And that was easy, and he ended up being the scapegoat. Then last year, they lose the Super Bowl, and very few people would scapegoat Brock Purdy for that loss. But no. Chris Sims, a couple of months ago, as he ranked Brock Purdy, what, 16th or 17th amongst quarterbacks in the NFL, said, look, if he was really a top 10 quarterback, they would have won the Super Bowl. And if Jordan Love was their quarterback, they would have won the Super Bowl. And it's interesting to hear someone that close, who literally has Kyle Shanahan's initials tattooed on his ankle, say something like that. Because that, to me, is Kyle's stance. That, you know, he's propping these guys up. And yeah, Brock's better than Jimmy, but he's still propped up by Kyle.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I bet you if Kyle was doing a top, you know, 20 quarterback ranking, Brock Purdy would probably rank lower than people expect. Probably lower than most of you in the chat would rank him, if I'm being real. And I think that would shock a lot of people, but I think that's the reality. That being said, there's two problems for Kyle Shanahan. One is Brock Purdy has proven that when it comes playoff time, even if he doesn't play great every game, he plays well enough for him not to be the reason that they lose. He wasn't the reason they lost in the Super Bowl. He wasn't the reason, you know, obviously the Eagles game, he got hurt. That's not his fault. But if they had lost to the Lions, he wasn't the reason there either. So he plays well enough in the playoffs. And the other problem he has using Purdy as a scapegoat is this fan base prefers Purdy over Kyle Shanahan. I would guarantee it. If it comes down to one or the other, I think this fan base would vote for Brock Purdy to stay on the island over Kyle Shanahan. So I've always said the moment that Kyle Shanahan starts throwing Brock Purdy under the bus is the moment that this fan base runs thin with patience in Kyle Shanahan. As long as he doesn't do that, I think he can be here as long as he wants. But if he were to do that, I think this fan base would ride tough for Brock Purdy over him.
Unless he loses the Jets week one. A lot at stake. A lot at stake for Brock Purdy. We'll see what he does. I think what's at stake right now is the sleeper picks on the sleeper app. Just want to let people know. Feeling generous these days. And I want to give away this Brandon Ayuk signed jersey. Look, there's his name. There's the signature on the number. And I'm giving it away. All you have to do is download the Sleeper app and use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. There are probably four people who have done this in the last few days, so you could enter yourself in a giveaway with like 10 people, and you might get this jersey. It's in pristine condition, and all you got to do is do what I said, download the app, promo code CONE. We're going to make some picks right now. Instead of going straight to the Niners, we're going to use the Sleeper app gives you like discounted picks because they give you the tools to be an excellent picker. So Patrick Mahomes, 19.5 completions week one against Baltimore. Completions. Interesting.
I'll give them more. I'll give them more.
This is a team that stunk on offense last year and really found its stride as they ran the ball down the stretch. Now they have Xavier Worthy.
And Rice is going into year two. Kelsey's probably suspended? A little bit healthier. No, he's not suspended at all. Nope.
Nice. Remember when the nice. NFL used to suspend people for like looking at the camera the wrong way? It's like, what? Now it's like, we don't have any evidence. Anyway, I'm with you on that. More for Patrick Mahomes. Derrick Henry, 53.5 rushing yards, discounted from 67.5.
Less.
Why?
I don't know that Derrick Henry's still Derrick Henry. If this was a touchdown thing of like over, under, or more or less one touchdown, give me the more there. But I think they're going to try to save Derrick Henry throughout the season. And I could see Lamar Jackson certainly benefiting from Derrick Henry. But first game, also, it's a whole reworked offensive line. I think they're confident in the offensive line, but it is reworked. And we know Kansas City has a good defense as well. So I'll take less.
Okay, fair enough. I currently have 15 picks pending. I haven't won one in a long time. But, you know, that's what week one's going to be about. We'll see what happens. Niners, Jets. Let's see. Breece Hall, Christian McCaffrey. How about
Hey, Breece Hall, more on the rushing yards. I'll take that one.
62.5. Yeah, I would have to say so.
Yeah, I'm going more.
Garrett Wilson.
Less.
Less. Yeah. George Kittle, Brock Purdy.
You know, Brock Purdy, I had it at around 230 yards, so I don't feel comfortable going with that one. What's Aaron Rodgers at? He's over like 210.
They won't let us pick, and I don't know why they're blocking the combination. That's one thing I don't understand about the sleeper app, but we can pick on Purdy.
There's legalities. You can only pick so many people from certain teams. Because if there was like some sort of system put in place where they were trying to snipe games and the players weren't playing hard, then it's like, well, they don't want you to take advantage and win everything.
Makes sense. We got four. You want to do one more? McCaffrey, Purdy, Kittle, Ayuk.
I think three and a half
receptions for Ayuk. I like this one. Three and a half. He should be good for more than 3.5 at what he's getting paid, but he hasn't freaking.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Practice, man. How confident do you feel that he's gonna have four catches?
Can we do his yards? Is there a yards in there for him?
Yeah, but I like this one. I like this one. 54.
I don't
because he averages like 18 yards a catch.
And he did. I don't know that he will this year. See, I had him at like four. I thought he was gonna get like four catches going into this game.
Okay,
but 3.5's right there. I don't feel good about going. With more,
I feel like more on 3.5 catches is like he should be expected to have four catches.
I also feel like when it seems so obvious, that's when you get it wrong, you know. And it's like, oh, this is easy win. That's when you don't win, you know what I mean? Like,
let's fade him.
Okay,
which one, yards or catches?
Let's go yards and go less.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I'm gonna lock it in. That's our picks. I'm gonna flex it. Putting down 10 to win potentially 108. But I apparently don't have enough money, so I'm gonna have to contact my bookie.
I like the flex option though with these, because I like to play it safe. I'm not good at these things.
When you're our age, you've learned a thing or two.
Yeah, give me the flex option.
I'm gonna have to talk to my account manager and see what I can do, but again. What's the most important thing here is if you want a Brandon Ayuk jersey and you want to compete against a dozen people for the jersey, use promo code CONE and download that sleeper app. Okay. moving on to more football topics. Jesse, which 49er has the most to prove week one?
Oh, it's the gentleman we were just talking about. It's easily Brandon Ayuk. You just had a very, very contentious offseason, and Brandon Ayuk didn't do himself any favors, and not a lot of people talked about it, but he said towards the end of that press conference the other day that he maybe made it a little bit harder than what he needed to towards the end, basically taking responsibility and saying, yeah, I could have ended this thing maybe a little bit earlier if I wasn't playing such hardball. That, I don't think, did him any favors in the 49ers fan base eyes. Now, I think most 49er fans are happy to have him back, but if he doesn't play well, and if they lose, people are going to be at Brandon Ayuk. They are not going to be happy with Brandon Ayuk whatsoever. It's like if he has a three catch 14-yard game and they lose, it's going to be a problem. It'll be a problem. And by the way, it's not that he just didn't have a full offseason. If I'm Shanahan, I'd be using him as a decoy anyways against Sauce Gardner. That's not the matchup I want to see. So I would be using him to get other people open. It's very reasonable to think that even if he was there all offseason, he would be a decoy and he wouldn't get a lot of targets and catches anyways. Now you add in that, I'm curious to see what his utilization looks like. And I have a feeling it might not be a great game for him. And if it's not and they lose, watch out. This fan base is not going to be happy.
Good call. I like that answer. I'm going to go a different direction, not to step on your toes.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Shanahan has the most to prove.
Okay.
Coming off a Super Bowl loss, a lot of people blame you. You're a 4-point favorite at home. You're going against Robert Saleh. You got to win, man. You got to have this team ready to go. And if you lose, it's not on Brock Purdy. It's on you. You can't lose to Robert Saleh. Because they could have traded you and kept Robert Saleh. They could have traded you and kept D'Amico Ryans. You gotta beat Robert Saleh, man. I'm so much at stake for Kyle. And it's like, yeah, you've proven a lot. You're not a great coach. You're a very good coach and a very good offensive coach. But year eight, Super Bowl or bust, you lose week one to Robert Saleh. It's not looking great.
I can't really argue with that necessarily. I'll say a guy that doesn't have a lot to prove, but I am curious to see how he plays. Fred Warner. Fred Warner is one of the best players on this team, but I'm curious to see what it looks like without Dre Greenlaw. I mean, just emotionally is a big part of what Fred Warner does. Absolutely loves playing football with him. You could see how gutted he was when Dre Greenlaw got injured, but also Dre Greenlaw does literally everything that Fred Warner would prefer not to do, and vice versa. They just complement each other so dang well. I'm curious to see him playing next to a much lesser player in Devondre Campbell at this stage in his career. What does it look like for Fred Warner? Is he willing to get in there, mix it up, get nasty with the offensive lineman and try to stop the run? Or does he continue to do what he's always been great at, which is coverage and, you know, maybe a little bit of a liability in the run game? I'm curious to see what it looks like for Fred Warner. I don't think he has a lot to prove, but just out of curiosity, I want to see what Fred Warner looks like without Dre Greenlaw next
to him. I think he has a lot to prove in that area. I mean, that's something to prove. Also, Nick Bosa. Last year was a down year for you, Nick, and we all understand it was because you didn't go to training camp and you were negotiating a contract and yada, 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 and we give you that. So that didn't happen this year. You were at training camp. You were at the whole offseason. You should be back. You should be defensive player of the year candidate Nick Bosa. If not, that's alarming because they're paying you to be that. So Nick has a ton to prove this year. Week one, start. You had 3 sacks through the first 8 games last year. You should have a sack in this game.
I like that. He should have a sack in this game.
Yeah.
Okay, one more. How about Javon Hargrave? Admitted he was out of shape. You were the prized possession in the offseason for a team that was chasing a Super Bowl. You were supposed to be the guy to come in and deliver something this team was missing in an interior pass rusher, and you failed to do that because you were out of shape. Now you're getting paid still very big money. The expectation is you are a top 3, top 5 interior pass rusher in this league. That's what you were paid to come in and do. You've got help with Bosa right next to you. So it makes your life a heck of a lot easier. Can you come in and wreak havoc as an interior pass rusher and do what the expectation is? Now you said you're in shape. Now you know the scheme. Now you've been here a year. There are no excuses. You're getting paid a lot of money. Can you be the player that you're expected to be? I'm curious to see if Javon Hargrave can live up to those expectations as well.
And then also Nick Sorensen, man.
No,
Nick Sorensen. I mean, God, he's gotten the endorsement of the players. Everyone's thinking this is going to be okay because he knows D'Amico. And yeah, okay, but like we've never seen what this looks like. He's never called a play. How, and it's not just him, it's Brandon Staley too. What is this like Frankenstein combination gonna look like? Is it gonna work? He's going against Aaron Rodgers week one.
It's a good one. Let's go. All yeah. right. I think that's a good list of players that have like something those. To prove. Players, coaches, like yeah. Those.
Dave Barclay says, tried this on Jesse, but everyone talked about being efficient and green, but you should see people's faces when I rinse out my one rubber and put it back in my wallet. What's with that, Jesse? Chat.
What the hell? What are you talking about?
What is he that talking is about? So Fisher weird. Says, you're the next Kyle Shanahan scapegoat. It's Cone's fault for sure. What was he talking about? Dave Barclay says, I don't necessarily disagree with Fish. All nine says, only if y'all have time. If not, no worries. Side note, I never realized Leonard Floyd was the one who sacked A-Rod for his injury. Yeah. You got Leonard Floyd, who knocked out A-Rod, and Hassan Reddick, who knocked out Brock Purdy. Now, we don't know if Hassan Reddick's going to play, looking like he might not, but could happen. Do it for
I think, by the way, that was All Niner, $10. He wants us to go through and pick the games. Damn. So I know. I think he delivered. We might have time. Okay, we might have time. We can go rapid fire.
We will. Dave Barclays says, just give me the jersey, G. I don't gamble, but I pay. MM Forever says, what do you have to pay? What do you have to say to 95.7 calling you a liar? Who called me a liar?
I don't know.
I don't understand. It's like, look, if you feel that my source is wrong, fine. I mean, I don't know. I mean, none of us know. But like, if you think that I'm like lying about having a source, like, Jesse, I would show you. If you were here right now, I would show you my phone. Like, I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. The idea that I would like, I don't even want to be a newsbreaker. Jesse, do I want to be a newsbreaker?
It's so funny because I was talking with Coach about this and I was like, Grant's got himself caught into this like sources thing unintentionally. But every time I've heard you talk about it, you're like, that's not the game.
I don't want to do this. It takes a lot of work and you got to grind. It's not for me. I'd rather just pontificate. It's a lot easier. But sometimes people hand me stuff and I'm like, all right, well, I could just sit on it or I could share it. And if I'm going to share it, I'm going to do my best to let people to be as transparent as possible and let people make up their own mind about it. But the idea that I'm like making it up, like, no,
it's not a big enough
platform. I don't need to do that. That's high risk, low reward.
It is not at all far-fetched to get a DM from someone, you know, that is within the organization. I get them, which is strange, or, you know, supposedly, I don't know who these people are. So I'm not saying, but I definitely get these things. And I have people that DM me and be like, hey man, really love your content, but could you tell Grant I said what's up? Really love his content. Like, you're trying to get to Grant through me. Like, that's so weird.
His DMs are open. What's funny about I started reporting about the Ricky Pearsall thing, and the police officer who was DMing me literally said, hey man, I tried to go back to Matt Maiocco first, but his DMs are closed.
Like, see, yeah. That's what I'm saying. There
I
you mean, go. Yeah.
I was not the first choice in this matter.
Yeah. No. But I guess what I'm saying is if people are going to go out of their way to DM me to try to say hi to you, then I got to imagine that you're getting some of these DMs. And it's the thing about the whole source thing is don't say that the person's a liar. Like that's just vindictive. That's jealousy. That's weird. Now saying you disagree with the source or I don't believe that what he's hearing is accurate. Totally fine. Totally fine. But he's not just making it up. That's weird.
Yeah. And like extremely, not just unprofessional, but like the idea of lying about a scoop,
trying to be a journalist for a living.
That would be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Done. You're done. Slide 23 says, where do you think Jake Moody will rank this year? Number one in all of our hearts.
There we go. Perfect.
Eric Wilson, new member, Dave Barclay, 779 watching, 109 likes. Come on, guys. Actually, it's 1697 watching if you include Twitter. Fish and Chip says, Colbo McCaffrey has a bit to prove also no camp.
Yeah, Colbo for sure.
McCaffrey, you're a jerk. Jay Figs Ramon says perhaps the O-line and D-line will surprisingly show out this year.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I hope so.
Sure. Eric Wilson says Brock Purdy has proved he's a starting quarterback for SF. I don't grit my teeth when he passes like I did when Jimmy G was in the huddle.
Dude, trust me. That is the best thing about being a fan of this team right now is you. Every time the point came or the ball left the screen, you're like, please don't be a pick. Please don't be a pick. Please don't be. Now you're like, I expect something good to happen. That is a major difference.
Let's go through all 16 games, week one for all Niner right now. Let's do it. Chiefs at home, -3 over the Ravens Thursday night.
I think this is a straight up pick 'em for him. So I'm just going to give the winner. I think the Ravens they need to win this game. The Chiefs do not. They lost week one last year. Their division's much weaker. Ravens are desperate. I'll go with the Ravens to win this game.
Agree. Packers, Eagles, Eagles at home.
Oh my God. Well, it's technically in Brazil. Man, this is a good game. This is two teams that are going to be competing with the 49ers potentially for a playoff spot. I'll go with the Packers because I trust Love. I know this sounds weird, a little bit more than Hurts, but man, Hurts is just, if you make him pass, I just don't think he's great. So I'll go with Love and the Green Bay Packers.
I think that Eagles team is really, really, really missing Shane Steichen. Jaguars in Miami.
Miami doesn't lose at home early usually. So
Steelers in Atlanta.
That's a tough game. I'll go with Atlanta because they're at home.
Vikings in New York against the Giants.
It's just two awful teams and two awful quarterbacks. Oh my gosh, man.
Could you really pick Sam Darnold to win a game on the road? But then could you really want to pick Daniel Jones?
Pick Danny Dimes, I know.
In person at all?
I'll go with the Giants, I guess. Begrudgingly, I don't feel good about that at all.
Carolina and New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New England and Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Tennessee and Chicago.
I'm actually taking Tennessee in the upset here.
Why?
I think Caleb Williams is going to struggle early on. I don't think he'll be much different than Justin Fields. And I think that coaching staff is absolutely atrocious. It isn't going to do him any favors. There's a lot of hype, a lot of expectations. And I think Tennessee just calmly moves in and wins that game.
Would you say that coaching staff is doo-doo?
They're trash. I don't know what I said. I might've said doo-doo.
No, I said doo-doo. Arizona and Buffalo.
Ooh. Buffalo. They're at home.
I'm so out on Buffalo. Like Josh Allen, great player, but the team around him is like, what is that?
You low key like Arizona. I remember when you picked them a couple years ago to win the division, and then they beat the 49ers week one.
I like Kyler. I feel like he's gotten a lot of flack. Deservedly. But he's still young and he's still an incredible athlete. How many dudes get drafted top 10 in two sports? Like him and Bo Jackson? Did Bo Jackson even get drafted top 10 in two sports? No.
I don't know. He's incredible. He is an incredible athlete. I don't know where the pass rush comes from with the Cardinals.
They don't have one.
I think that's disaster against Josh Allen. Good luck with that.
Fair enough. Texans in Indianapolis.
Texans.
Yeah. Raiders against the Chargers in LA.
Chargers.
Washington. Yeah. In Tampa.
Tampa.
Give me Washington.
Rookie quarterback.
Daniels.
I like Jaden Daniels too, but I got to see it before I can believe it. So give me Tampa.
I want to believe it before I see it. Denver in Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah.
A rookie quarterback against Mike McDonald. Good luck, man.
Bo Nix, but yeah, you're a good point. Dallas and Cleveland.
McDonald, though, that's tough.
Dallas
and Cleveland. Oh, God, man. Jeez. Who's at home?
Cleveland.
Give me
Cleveland. 1-point favorites.
Defense. Cleveland.
Yeah. Big Deshaun Watson. I'm just kidding. Rams. Detroit.
Give me Detroit. But, dude, that's a tough one, man. That 49er fans, by the way, Rams, Detroit, and that's a primetime game on Sunday, and then the primetime game on Friday, you get the Eagles and the Packers. Those are four teams, man, that are going to be buying for a playoff spot and challenging the 49ers. So watch those games very, very closely.
Dave Barclay says, don't gamble and don't twatter. Thanks, G. Don't you dare twatter. Kilo TW says, I have a feeling Brock is going to have a bad game, but only because he's 0-2 on Monday Night Football. Is that true?
I wasn't aware of that.
We have to find this out. Hold on.
Is he the next Kirk Cousins in primetime? Oh my gosh.
We got to find this out. Hold on. Splits. Splits career. Monday. Monday. No, he's 1-2. He's 1-2 on Monday Night Football with a quarterback rating of, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. 55.
What is, oh. Uh-oh. I'm not a big quarterback ratings guy, but that I
me
know
neither,
that's not good.
But he has one touchdown and six picks on Monday Night Football in three games. Yikes. Okay. Well,
yeah, that's not good.
Now, that's only three games, but thank you for bringing that up, Kilo TW. Like, whoo.
Well, I want to say this, though, too. And somebody had asked me on my last show, I just did Behind Enemy Lines before this with the Jets content creator. And somebody brought up, hey, if Brock Purdy plays well against the Jets, is that a big deal? And I said, yeah, I think so, because it's a data point. Everything that we're doing with Brock Purdy, it's so early in his career. We're just trying to collect as much data as possible. And the data says, regardless of who wasn't playing, that against good defenses, he tends to struggle a little bit. Data apparently also says he's not great on Monday Night Football. So I think playing well against the Jets is a data point that 49er fans would be very happy to obtain. So
I think so too. Final question. Is it a big deal if the Niners lose week one? We don't expect them to.
No, but I'm picking them to win.
It's like, I mean, we've seen them turn it on late in the season. Like, if they lose, it's one game. If they lose this game, is it the end of the world?
It's not the end of the world because it's an AFC team. But I just talked about, you've got the great thing for the 49ers is the way this season starts. You've got four teams that are going to be, like I said, fighting for playoff spots, competing potentially for number one seeds against the 49ers. Those four teams happen to be playing each other week one, which means, barring a tie, two of those teams are going to come out 0-1. It would be a shame to squander a 1-0 start to put yourself ahead. We've seen the 49ers start 3-5 and start 4-6 and all those things and come back. But we haven't seen the 49ers start that slow and get over the hump and actually make it to a Super Bowl. The 2 years they made it to a Super Bowl, they had hot starts. So if they don't start hot this year and they have a 2-3 start or something like that, you probably shouldn't have the expectation they're going to a Super Bowl. So yeah, I think this game's certainly important, especially because those other four teams are playing each other. Would it be end of the world? No. Is it a big deal? Yeah, I think it's a big deal.
Let's assume that my source is correct, that okay, the front office is currently perturbed.
Well, I think you're a liar, first of all. Let's start there.
Well, you put out that you heard the same thing. You said you heard the same thing, right? So for what it's worth, you heard the same thing. Ryan Hensley heard the same thing. Lobs All Day heard the same thing. 8049ers heard the same thing. Like, I'm not alone on this one. There are whispers going around. So if that's correct,
I heard specifically Lynch, just to clear it up. Specifically,
sure,
Lynch.
Sure. Because I didn't hear specific. All I heard is that it's the regime in general. And if they don't win the Super Bowl, someone's head will roll. I didn't hear whose. If that's correct, and they lose week one at home at Levi's Stadium to Robert Saleh, I'm thinking whatever animosity is building up is only going to ratchet up. So it seems like, yes, they could bounce back from it, but given what's happened the last 6-7 months, particularly last couple months, it would be in their interest as their unofficial quality control coach. I highly recommend, my advice for week one is to win.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to say this, though, because again, I had heard the same thing about Lynch, but I had heard this many, many months ago, and it's not something that I put out there. I don't care to put it out into the ether, because who knows, right? But you know, when people are like, oh, you know, they're just making this up, I'm like, well, I did hear the same thing, just to be fair. I want to throw that out there. But what would be contradictory? Let's go down the path for a second that your source is right. How contradictory would it be for Jed York going into the Super Bowl asking if they had lost in the NFC Championship, would it have been a disappointment? And your answer to the public was, oh, no. I mean, it would have been a great season. I'd have been happy with that. And then behind the scenes, be like a tyrant over not winning a Super Bowl. Those two things don't add up. Now, Jed York is a little bit odd. I wouldn't put it past him. We've seen him kind of act out of haste in the past. I mean, shoot, you had Harbaugh here winning a lot of games. You took the first chance you had to get out of it. But that those two things.
He missed the playoffs one time.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And he's like, I'm out. Yep. Yeah. So I don't necessarily buy that it's the real thing that's happening here. But if it is, man, what a sleazeball move to come out in the public and say that and then behind the scenes be like, you better win a Super Bowl or else.
At the same time, though, it's fair. Like, we all the word I'm trying to look for is Eddie DeBartolo is a mythological figure in 49ers lore. And part of what made him so cool is that he was angry and quick-tempered and had high standards. And Jed isn't a fraction of that. So if he could finally in year 8 or year 9 say, hey, Kyle, we've done everything. We've said yes. We've written all the checks. Like, we need you to actually deliver because you don't have a lifetime contract. I think that would be like almost in the spirit of the organization going back to the 80s. Like, even George Seifert got fired, and he won 2 Super Bowls. Like, sorry, no one's safe, man. You got to produce. And I know it's like, we go to NFC Championship games. Great, man. But like, you are considered the best team in the league. You're not exceeding expectations. You're not when you lose in the Super Bowl, you're not exceeding expectations. And they're not firing you yet. They're still giving you every opportunity. You want Debo, you want Trent, you want Brandon. Great, man. Great. Now win the Super Bowl.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think they would go that route. And it actually makes a lot of sense that John Lynch would be the one to go if either of them, only from the standpoint that like, you got to shake things up if things aren't going right. And I think Kyle's your guy. You allowed him to pick the GM. So to me, I could see that potentially happening, but I don't think it's unreasonable to hold them accountable and expect a Super Bowl. I don't. It's been 8 years.
Here's the problem with firing John. John's a figurehead. He's not a strong general manager. Kyle runs the team. So for you sure. Fire John and say, we want to bring in a strong general manager. Kyle, you have to give up power. Will he do it?
I don't think you would bring in a strong general manager at that point. Okay. You'd probably bring in another person that...
So you give Kyle more power if he loses the Super Bowl. That doesn't make sense to me. So that's why it's like... And here, so here's the last... We gotta go soon. It's 6:57 on the West Coast. Bill Belichick is unemployed.
Okay.
And if the Niners have this veteran team, they want to do this last dance thing and Kyle can't get it across the finish line, maybe Jed feels like, you know, well, there is this all-time great coach in like the Bill Walsh tier and he's there and he wants to coach. He doesn't want to be Kyle's defensive coordinator, but he will be the head coach of this team. And he's won Super Bowls with worse teams. He seems to love, I mean, I'm just saying, That is the one thing that could be the, you know, the turd in the punch bowl for Kyle Shanahan. Bill.
It could be.
Although no one wanted him this year, so I don't know what his stock is. I don't know. No one wanted him this year. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's kind of going to ingratiate himself back into the league. I think
he's on with Pat McAfee. He's cool now.
That's what I'm saying. And he's actually a funny guy. He's a lot of fun to be around. He did the whole roast thing. I think people are going to see him let his hair down a little bit and be like, okay, maybe he's not so bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. That could be a scenario. I think this is so slim to none. Even if barring like a under 500 season and missing the playoffs, I just don't see any scenario where Kyle Shanahan's moved on from. I just don't.
Yeah. You know, when I got the DM, I was surprised as well, but I'm not the one plugged in. This guy is. Fish and Chip says, Mom asks, do you sleep with your golf club? Only on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Dave Barclay says, my sources say Kyle looks like a douche with a haircut. That's not how you spell douche. Get it right.
Not,
Dave Barclay says, I know it's spelled wrong, but I had to get it in. Fair enough.
it's $2 limit.
Why haven't we won? Is it the personnel or the performance? Performance equals Kyle. Personnel equals John.
They all equal Kyle. Kyle's making all the decisions, man. It's not personnel. The team's good enough to win.
I think the team's good enough to win. It's 6:59. Thanks for watching. This was officially, hold on. Just getting reported. This was the best 49ers after dark of all time.
Oh.
This was It's the best one we've ever done. All except for the Russian the judge Mac was Jones. Not a fan, but everyone else gave us exemplary marks. So thank you.
I will say the Mac Jones draft one, where is he getting 100 mil, was might have been the best one. I'll never forget.
That was a good time. One. I'll never forget that time. God.
Shout out to Waruna.
Yeah, and you know, he may get it one day. Anyway, thanks for watching. This has been 49ers After Dark. Make sure you like and subscribe to Jesse's YouTube channel, Last Second Sports, and to mine as well. And again, if you want a Brandon Ayuk signed jersey, download the Sleeper app right now and use promo code COHN. Thanks for watching. God bless America.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.